6:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
Today is the beginning of a fall sermon series entitled, Here We Stand, Sure Faith for Uncertain Times. The series relates to the fact that this October is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. The leading figure of the Reformation, Martin Luther, famously said, Here I stand, when he refused to recant his beliefs when under pressure. And so, this series is an opportunity for us to consider what our central beliefs are as Christians and how we can stand firm in faith in the midst of today's pressures. I heard a lot about Luther when I was in college because I did my undergraduate work at a Lutheran school, Wittenberg University, which is named, of course, after the German town of Wittenberg, where Luther nailed his 95 theses on the church door. My wife, Mavis, also went to a Lutheran school, Luther College, in Decorah, Iowa. We may look like Methodists, but there is Lutheranism lurking in our past. But this actually could be said about the Methodist movement as a whole. Methodism began in England in the 1700s under the leadership of John Wesley, but the roots of the Methodist movement go straight back to Luther and other Protestant reformers who were at work in the 1500s. In looking back to the Reformation, we are looking to our own story. This sermon series will not be a history lesson. If you're interested in more about the history, be a part of that University of Life class that's starting on the Reformation next Sunday morning. But our present-day perspectives are very much rooted in the past. And so as I refer during the course of the series to key ideas of the Reformation, we will see how the insights that people were making during the Reformation continue to be of central importance for us today. Thinking about the Reformation will help us to think afresh about our own core beliefs. Let's begin with a moment of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Where do you look for truth? This is a central issue in our present day when fake news abounds or genuine news is vilified as fake news when people don't like what it says. We are bombarded with fraudulent messages. Email subjects us to a cacophony of bogus claims on a daily basis, and many of us no longer answer our landline, if we have one, and only warily answer our cell phone because we are bombarded by calls from fraudulent telemarketers. And if it is difficult on a daily basis to sift the truth from all the falsehood in the news and in advertising, how can we discern what is true when it comes to the really big questions of life? Questions about God and morality and meaning and purpose. How exactly do we find what is true? Here it is helpful to take a brief journey through humanity's approach to that question over the past few centuries. In medieval days, prior to the Reformation in Europe, the simple answer was, look to the church and its leadership. The Catholic Church in the Middle Ages claimed what it called the magisterium, the teaching authority of the church, which was concentrated in the Pope. Whatever the Pope said was supposed to be true. But the Reformation exposed serious flaws in the Pope and in the Church as a whole, and so laid the foundation for the Enlightenment, or the so-called modern era, when people concluded that instead of relying on institutional authorities such as the Pope, we should all use our own heads and look to human reason in order to discover truth. Science blossomed in the age of discovery. And up until recent times, many people would have said that reason or science will provide the ultimate source of truth. But that confidence in our human reason began to unravel after the Second World War, as people realized that science had given us tremendous weapons, but not the wisdom for how to live with one another. Science could indeed yield great truths about the physical world, but it had its limits. It could not answer moral or spiritual questions. Moreover, philosophers pointed out that the very process of observing phenomena affects what is observed, and how we think about things is very much shaped by our cultural context, so that all of our deductions contain an inherent element of distortion or bias. Thus, we entered the postmodern era, where truth is considered to be not absolute, and where people look more to feeling to discern what is true. In this age, how we feel about something is what is true for us. Truth becomes relative. But this approach too has great limits, since some things are definitely true, no matter how I feel about them. So perhaps the insight of the Reformation can help us afresh. Luther recognized that the basic dynamic of the whole biblical story is that God communicates to us. God speaks through the prophets of the Old Testament, through the writers of the Old Testament, and ultimately speaks with perfect clarity in Jesus Christ. So if we want to know what is true, particularly if we want to know what is true in the great moral and spiritual questions of life, we need to look to what God says. We need to look to God's word in the scriptures, especially to how that word comes to its greatest expression in Jesus Christ. In short, God does not leave us to try to figure out what is true on our own. God reveals truth to us, and we have the record of that revelation in the Bible. We can journey in truth as we look to how God communicates to us through the scriptures. For as the psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Thus, the first principle of the Reformation is encapsulated in the Latin phrase sola scriptura, which means the Bible alone. Luther and other reformers perceived that we will find the central truths of life not by relying on ourselves or on human authorities, but by looking to God's word. As we progress through this sermon series, you will find that each point of the Reformation is summarized in a little Latin phrase. So we'll be learning bits of Latin each week. The principle of sola scriptura was a complete upending of what the Catholic Church had been claiming in the Middle Ages. The Catholic Church used the Bible, but the Catholic Church claimed that the Bible is the Church's book and the authority of the Church is over the Bible. Thus, the Church tells you what you should think about biblical passages, and the Church can add to the Bible. This is why, up until recent decades, there were never Bibles easily available in Catholic churches, no Bibles in the pews such as we have here, because the Church did not feel that average people could be trusted with the Bible on their own. The Pope was seen as the top source of truth, and it is the Pope who interprets the Bible for everyone else. Luther flipped that picture completely over by saying that God's word in the Bible is the authority and the Church is under the Bible. Christians, Luther said, should look directly to the Bible for truth and should judge the Church and its leadership according to God's word. This is why Luther translated the Bible into German and made copies of it available for the common people, especially aided by the printing press, which was able to make many copies going out into the broader world. Luther judged the Pope by the Bible, and the Pope did not come out so well, which led to a lively story to which I will be referring during the course of the sermon series. So the search for truth should begin with God, as we look to what God reveals to us in God's word. But is the Bible the only source of truth that we need? In Luther's struggle with the Catholic Church, in which the Catholic leadership was saying that you can look at the Bible, but you also have to look at what all the popes have said, Luther found it important to insist that no, we should look to the Bible alone, and we should judge all the statements of the popes by what the Bible says. Thus, his principle of sola scriptura was a way of holding to biblical truth in opposition to the accumulated teachings of the Catholic Church that had in many ways departed from the Bible. But today, there are some Christians who've taken that idea of sola scriptura and have twisted it into a very simplistic, anti-intellectual, anti-academic principle where they just take a surface reading of the Bible and consider that to be the end of the story in every search for truth. And thus, for example, there are some Christians who would insist that our planet Earth came into existence 6,000 years ago in six literal days because that's what they get when they simply read the words of Genesis in a very literal fashion and simply take them at face value. The basic principle here is, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. But this is not exactly what Luther and the other reformers had in mind. Our own Methodist tradition has a great deal to add at this point to our discussion. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, put forward an approach that we now call the Wesleyan quadrilateral that really ties together everything that we've been considering this morning. Wesley argued that there are four basic sources of truth that God has provided for us, and we should use all four. The first and primary source of truth is the Bible. In agreement with Luther's insight, we start by looking to what God says to us in the Scriptures. But how do we rightly understand the Scripture? Wesley argued that we have a lot to learn from each other and from the insights of people of faith who have gone before us. That's why God gave us the church. So he said a second source of truth is tradition, or the whole history of what Christians have perceived before us. We're looking at that source of truth in this sermon series as we draw insights from the Protestant reformers of 500 years ago. A third source of truth, Wesley said, is experience. That is, your own personal experience of God. God was present not only with biblical figures or with historical luminaries like Luther. God is present with you. And God speaks to you and me in many different ways. God is speaking to us whenever we perceive something of God's glory and the beauty of nature, or when we sense God's presence in worship and prayer, or when we experience God's working within us as we deal with the challenges of life. The final source of truth, Wesley said, is reason. God gave us our minds to use and to pursue every academic discipline. Thus, the results of science are part of God's truth because God gave us the minds to do science. How then do we find what is true when it comes to the big questions of life? The Methodists have a method which can provide sound guidance in this age when there is so much confusion about what is really true. We start with God, looking to God's word, and then we rightly understand what God is saying to us by using the various gifts for understanding that God has given us. We draw upon the perceptions of the community of faith around us, looking to the tradition of the church. We draw on our own experience of God in our lives, and we use our God-given reason. This is the approach that we'll be taking throughout this sermon series. In his second letter to Timothy, Paul warned that the time will come when, to suit their own desires, people will gather around teachers who say whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will turn away from the truth and wander off into myths. That time has certainly arrived. You can think of many examples of this in our world today. So, how do we find truth within the confusion of our age? We do so by grounding ourselves in God's Word. It is then that we can come to know who we truly are. We can discover what our purpose here is. We can come to understand how to live life fully, and we can see what our glorious destiny is through Jesus Christ. As Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let us pray. Eternal God, by your word you created all things. By your word you spoke through the prophets of old, and that word became incarnate in Jesus and speaks now fully to our hearts today. Inspire us, O Lord, that we might hear your word, that we might open our hearts and lives, O Lord, to how you are speaking to us, so that we might receive your grace, your wondrous love, and your promises for us, that we might be guided to live as your disciples today, and empower them to join together truly as your church, and to reach out in compassion and mission to the world. Move us, O Lord, as we would truly ground our lives upon your truth, as we may grow then as your people and be enabled to show forth your truth and your love in our own lives. Moved by your Spirit, we reach out to people around us who are in times of particular need. We pray for people beyond our community who are in times of challenge. We lift up especially those who are suffering from the impact of the hurricane in Texas, and pray that you would empower the work of our United Methodist Committee on Relief and all others who are at work there. Be, O Lord, with persons in times of need that they might find hope in you, and enable us, Lord, to be instruments of your grace and help. We do lift up closer to home the fellow United Methodists at the Heart for the City Church, Mission Church in Goodyear Heights. We thank you that we can be partnered with them in being in mission to people in a community where folks are dealing with many challenges but are finding new hope and support in this mission church among them. Lead us, Lord, as we indeed might be a part of reaching out to one another, that we can join today as that community of faith that experiences your word and puts that word into action. Move us, Lord, as we look to you in trust, hearing how you are speaking to our own hearts, putting our faith in you, and lifting our hearts to you in thankfulness and praise. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's notes from the pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.